We read in Galatians 6 that verse 3 it says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That verse shows that anyone, including you and me and anybody else in the world, in God's sight, he is a nobody. He is nothing. That truth has to sink in us. It's always when we think that we are somebody, then the problem starts. A person, when he goes away from God, he always has that feeling that he is somebody. The closer he comes to God, quickly he realizes that he is a nobody. We have seen umpteen examples of that. For instance, we saw of Job today. He says, I have heard of you by my ear, but now my eyes see. Now I retract what all I have said, and I repent in dust and ashes. That was the conclusion that he came to when he met God face to face. Isaiah also, he went about pronouncing curse to this nation, that nation, and all that, the first five chapters. When he came to chapter 6, where he saw the glory of God, he said, woe unto me. Forget about woe unto you, woe unto that nation and that nation. He said, woe unto me. I am finished. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Daniel, an angel came and met him. And he felt like he was a dead man. He had no strength to stand up when he saw an angel of God, leave alone God himself. Jesus came to Peter, and when his boat was filled up, Jesus paid back for the boat that he had borrowed to preach. Then he said, he cast the net, and when he caught the fish, boat full of fish, then Peter was so amazed and he was so surprised and astonished. He fell at his feet and he said, Lord, please leave me alone. Depart from me, Lord. And John, the disciple, when Jesus appeared to him in Patmos, you know, John was a very beloved disciple of Jesus Christ. He always used to lean upon Jesus' bosom, and he had such liberty with Jesus. But when he saw him in glory in the island of Patmos, you know what was his reaction? He didn't say, hi, buddy there. He didn't say that. You know, it says in chapter 1, you read that when he saw the glorified Lord, he fell like a dead man. It's when we have not seen the Lord and his goodness and his greatness, then we think that we are somebody. When we really come face to face with him, when we encounter him, then we realize that we are less than nothing. You read about John the Baptist. People came and asked him, who are you? He was preaching and baptizing people. They asked him, who are you? Are you the prophet? Are you the Christ? And are you this? Are you Elijah? And so on. You know what he said in John 1? Look at his response, verse 23. When they came and asked him, who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And John says, I am a voice. I am a faceless voice. I am only a voice sent from God. He didn't say, I am a forerunner of Jesus Christ. I am preparing the way for him. The Messiah is going to come. I have come ahead of him to prepare the way. No. He said, I am a voice. Just read about that in Isaiah 40. What he says here, this is what he was quoting, John. He says, a voice is calling, clear the way of the Lord in the wilderness. See, mankind had become like wilderness, and he has come to clear that up. Clear the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the rough ground become plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley, etc. It goes on. There are a few things I want you to notice there in those verses. The way of the Lord, the wilderness, desert, a highway, a valley, and mountain, rough ground and plain ground. See, there are in our midst and in every church brothers like mountains, you know, very prominent and very capable, strong in themselves, in their capabilities, in their talents, in their gifts. They are like mountains, hills, and there are valleys also in every church. Those who think very less of themselves, they berate themselves, they despise themselves, they think that they are no good. They are nobody. Oh, I can't be like that brother. He is so good at this. She is so good at that. I am not like that. I just come along and go. Nobody notices me. I don't have gifts. I am not so good looking. I'm not so intelligent. And things like that. These are valley brothers. You know, Jesus has come. Or rather, John the Baptist, he came so that the mountains can be brought low and the valleys can be lifted up, so that there will be a level path and a rough and tough people and the very meek and quiet people, those who are all the time hiding, they all can be brought together. And you know, the church can be a place where the Lord has a clear way to move, a smooth way and a plain way. Everything becomes plain so that a plane can land. A plane lands only when there is flat surface, not on a rugged terrain. So if you want the Lord to come and dwell with you, all these ups and downs should become, you know, plain and smooth. We need to realize what we are before God and who He is. You know, when we see His greatness, then we fall on our face and confess that He is Lord. The Bible says, a day will come when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You want to see the greatness of God? Read, when you get back home, Isaiah chapter 40. The heading of that chapter, it says, the greatness of God. The same chapter out of which I read a couple of verses. Starts from verse 12. I'd just like to read a few verses from there. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens by the span, and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in a balance, and the hills in a pair of scales? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? That means, who has ever given a counsel to God? Lord, don't do that, do like this. Has anybody said like that to him? With whom did he consult and who gave him understanding? Who taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him the way of understanding? Behold, I want you to look at this verse 15. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket. All the 200 and plus countries that are there in this world are all like a drop in a bucket. Drop from a bucket, it says. And they are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. You see, some of these scales you see in jewelry shop, so fine they are. Even a dust falls on that, they can sense it. They are so sensitive scales. Not like the one that you see in hardware shops or steel, where they sell steel or wood, firewood. Not that kind of scales. But in God's scales, they are like speck of dust. Behold, he lifts the islands like fine dust. And verse 17, all the nations are as nothing before him. First we read that they are like a drop from a bucket, all the nations. Then here we read that all the nations are as nothing before him. That means it's less than that drop. And then it says, they are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. Somebody sent me a clip, a video clip, wherein, you know, from a person's eye, microscopic, you can see so many things in a person's eye, you know, the cones and the rods and, you know, so many things that are there in person's eye, minute things, even in the blood cells, the human DNA, and then it goes up, and the person's face, and the person is, you know, it goes up, goes away from the earth, and earth becomes so small, and then the earth vanishes before some other planets, and then you see the sun, and sun also vanishes. It goes beyond the sun and beyond many of those stars and all those things into space, which has no limit, and there is no earth, there is no sun, there is nothing, there are so many other things there, and where do you and I fit in there? Then it comes back all over again, bringing everything back into focus, and that person's face, and then that person's eye, and then again goes back into that person's eye, and all those things. See how minutely we are made and how great the Lord is, and we think so much of ourselves. And like we heard today, somebody touches you in your soft spot and you get irritated and angry, and you have so many, you know, it's all because of pride. Because I'm still hale and hearty, I'm alive, that's why I have all these things. If I come to a real sense, I'll be like this man, like it says in Job chapter 3. I'd like to close with this. Chapter 3, verse 17. It says, Job is, you know, wishing that he were dead, that he was not born. He says, if I had died there in the grave, verse 17, it says, the wicked cease from raging, and there the weary are at rest. The prisoners are at ease together. They do not hear the voice of the taskmaster. The small and the great are there, and the slave is free from his master. The slave is free from his master. You don't hear the voice of the taskmaster because you are dead. When you are completely dead, thoroughly and really dead, then you will feel no pain. No matter what people talk about you by your dead body, you will not feel, you will not react. You will not say anything. You will not get up. You will not make a face at them, because you are thoroughly dead. Only when you feel something is rising within you, then you know that you are alive. A person may have been a king or a dictator. When he is really dead, you go and kick him. He will not do anything to you. You can safely kick him, and gladly, for all the evil that he did when he was alive. So when I'm really dead, nothing touches me, nothing hurts me, nothing, you know, I don't feel sorry for myself. I'm really dead. Only a dead person doesn't feel the Lord. And you've seen so many dead people, they put them and then they dump all the mud over them and put slabs of stone and all that. They feel nothing because they're totally, thoroughly, completely, really dead. When I'm not really dead, I have so many complaints. And we think that being in God's presence is something very somber and very sober, very serious, and we got to be always tensed and things like that. It is not so. The psalmist says in Psalm 16, the last verse, he says, "In thy presence, Lord, there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." It's the man who has experienced the presence of God, the man who has seen the glory of God, the man who has experienced the sweetness of fellowship with him, he knows how good it is and how pleasant it is to dwell together in unity with him and with one another. May God help us.
I was thinking about Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7, it says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith." Considering the end of their conduct and imitate their faith. God is looking for those who finish well. Considering the conduct of, consider the result of their conduct. You know, God is looking for those who finish well. There are many who began well, but they don't end well. But my brothers and sisters, God's desire is that we become in that number where we finish well. When I was thinking that so many people in the scriptures, and why that they don't finish well, because somewhere along the way they feel that they are somebody. You know, we heard about so many examples. They began well and they begin in a lowly way, but they become mountains. Every mountain to be brought low. I was thinking about Saul in Old Testament. You know, how he began well. You know, we read about him in 1 Samuel chapter 9, 10 and goes on. You know, where when Samuel the prophet wanted to anoint him as a king, and he was hiding under the baggage, and they couldn't find him. He was so humble and he was small in his own eyes. But when he became a king, they want to offer a sacrifice. No king has a business to offer a sacrifice. Samuel told him very clearly, "Wait until I come back." He would have waited. He thought that he's a king. He's no more hiding under the baggage. He wants to offer a sacrifice. He doesn't want to wait for Samuel. Consider the end of the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. My brothers and sisters, it's a God's desire that we don't get lost in pride and we lost our life. God wants us to be preserved. That's why he brought us to the church and we could hear God speak to us. May God give us a desire in our hearts that we end well. You know, we heard about Job, how Job responded in Job chapter 40. All that has happened to him, all that he's gone through, at the end, when he saw God, he said, chapter 40 verse 4 and 5, "Behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to you? I lay my hand on my mouth. Once I have spoken, I will not answer. Even twice, I will add nothing more." What a humility, brothers and sisters. even though he lived in the old covenant, he had such a spirit. He said, Lord, I am insignificant. May God bring us to that place, you know, where the place of insignificance. You know, one thing, the two things that we heard, that he has seen the Lord. Job has seen the Lord. He heard the Lord and he has seen the Lord. Jesus said in Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We can have a heaven and earth when we are poor in spirit. We are willing to receive. Blessed is the man who waits at my doorpost to listen. May God give us a heart of listening. May God give us a heart of receiving what the Lord wants to give us, to wait at his feet. And second thing, I have seen the Lord. Jesus said in Hebrew, writer to the Hebrew, he said in chapter 12, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We can hear God, we can see God. When we see God, we heard about Isaiah, John the Apostle, that how they become worshippers, how they could see their own smallness, and how they could see the greatness of God. That's what happens. You know, we see that in two examples that I would like to show in the New Testament. We don't have time to look at the verses, but I was thinking about Apostle Paul. He was a man who reached to the great heights, and he walked closely to the Lord, and he could say, I count all things as a loss, considering knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord. You know, in the Galatians, when he was writing, he says to the Galatians, you know, he saw the Galatian people and they began well. He says in chapter 3, he says that, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, who has put a magic spell on you? You have begun in spirit, but they are ended in the flesh. And then he goes on to say to them in Galatians chapter 6, where he said that anyone thinks that he is somebody when he is nobody, he is deceiving himself. And he goes on to say that in Galatians chapter 6 verse 14, where he says, I crucified all that is the world, I crucified to the world, and Jesus became a big thing in his life. And what a man, what an example. I was thinking about Jesus. Although he had an equality, in Philippians we read about that, have this attitude which is also in Christ Jesus. Although he was a son of God, he did not consider to equal with God. My brothers and sisters, we too can walk. There is a hope, brothers and sisters. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, I heard of you and now I've seen thee. May God give us that encounter where we can see the Lord. And John said, I see the Lord is seated on the throne. And that is the place, my brothers and sisters. In my heart, there is a throne where I'm not sitting. It's a God who is seated on the throne. And I become a worshipper. And I see God's glory. And that will help me to walk the way. You know, God is looking for those who finish well. May we have a desire. The Holy Spirit, that's why God has given us everything that is required to finish well. God has given us the Holy Spirit. God has given us the church, the fellowship, where brothers and sisters, brotherhood, that we can grow and finish well. I was thinking about what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing means nothing. Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing. May we be rooted. May we be connected to that branch. May we receive that sap every day. And so that we can hear of God and we can see God. That will make a difference in our life. Like Job said, Lord, I am insignificant. May God give us grace to look at those who finish well and consider the result of their conduct and imitate their faith. Amen.